It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Stephanie Kuo. State Senator Don Huffines wants to shut down an agency called Dallas County Schools. It provides bus service to several North Texas school districts, including Dallas ISD. As KERA's Bill Zeeble reports, the Dallas School District is in favor of the senator's plans.
Dallas Superintendent Michaelina Hossa told the State Senate Education Committee that his district, the state's second largest, provides about 60% of the business for Dallas County Schools. He's disappointed in its operations and its ballooning costs. He explained his support for Senate Bill 1122, which would dissolve the bus provider.
Our ridership has gone from approximately 51,000 in 2012 to 28,000. Cost per student has gone from 800 to 1,600 in those same years. Routes have gone from 700 to 1,000.
Senator Don Huffines calls Dallas County Schools a rogue bureaucracy that costs too much, provides too little, and has been poorly managed. The Dallas Republican says the agency also poses dangers to kids.
DCS buses are chronically late, dropping off students at school, and obviously causing students to miss their breakfast and their class time. Bus drivers received hundreds of red light tickets, putting children's lives at risk and costing taxpayers in Dallas County $80,000 in traffic fines.
Other state Senate committee members weighed in, with several supporting the Huffines plan. State Senator Royce West of Dallas, though, does not support the legislation. School districts he represents, like Lancaster and Cedar Hill, use and need DCS buses, but he welcomed the recent leadership change because he said confidence needed to be restored in Dallas County schools. Its superintendent was recently forced into early retirement. Acting Superintendent Letha Mullins defended the 2,200-person operation that serves 12 North Texas school districts.
Abolishing DCS will have a dramatic and negative impact on school children, taxpayers, and the leadership of the local school districts. We transport 76,000 students safely every day. Senate Bill 1122 will create immediate chaos for districts because DCS provides all the vehicles, operations, maintenance, and technologies for these ISDs.
Dallas School Board member Edwin Flores says his district would be better off without DCS. He calls the agency a monopoly and an unaccountable bureaucracy gone wild. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
The internet has changed the way humans learn, process, and retain information. If you can't remember the capital of Australia, you can quickly look it up. Today on Think, Chris Boy talked with author Ulrich Boser about the difference between knowledge and learning.
What's really important about learning, right? I mean, the reason that we learn is that we want to be able to apply that knowledge, and we want to be able to apply it in different ways. And so we don't want to learn just an isolated fact, maybe like a capital, but we want to be able to use that knowledge and be able to apply it. My favorite example of real experts, right, people who really have learned well are the Car Talk guys, famous, of course, to many NPR listeners. But if you take a step back and think for a moment what they did, I mean, someone would call into the show and say, you know, I have a Buick and there's smoke billowing out the front. They've never seen the car, right? They've never, you know, seen the smoke, but they're able to take that step back and make an analogy, use their expertise from other cars that they've worked on and able to solve that caller's issue. And I think it's a great example of people using what they know and solving problems, using that knowledge in fresh and new ways.
Ulrich Boser is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and author of the book Learn Better. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can listen to the podcast at think.kera.org. On Tuesdays, KERA's One Crisis Away series looks at life on the financial edge. Today, the psychological effects of poverty. A recent study shows that guilt, social pressure, and even a doctor's recommendation weren't enough to motivate low-income families to vaccinate their teens for HPV, or the human papillomavirus. New research from North Texas shows a promise in technique called self-persuasion. Professor Austin Baldwin led the study at SMU, and he talked about the research with KERA's Justin Martin.
Austin Baldwin, thanks for being here.
Yeah, nice to be here.
What does studying HPV tell us about poverty?
HPV is it's a sexually transmitted virus that is the primary cause of a variety of cancers, cervical cancer being primary among them. And there's been a vaccine developed in the last 10 years, 12 years, that's now approved. And at times, those who are underinsured or uninsured don't have the same level of access to it. And we know both here locally as well as nationally that folks who are poor, who are uninsured, we see clear disparities across a variety of health outcomes, including cancer, including cervical cancer. And so in that way, the HPV vaccine is potentially sort of a very effective means to address some of those health disparities.
Is there any difference between the reasoning behind not getting their kids vaccinated between rich and poor families?
Yes, there certainly could be. I mean, some of that may just be awareness or education about it. There's consistently sort of differences between rich and poor in terms of just their general education and information about health issues.
And how was your study conducted?
We recruited parents of adolescents who get their pediatric care at Parkland Clinic, and they participated in an app that we have developed that's housed on an iPad that does a few things. It provides them with some basic information about HPV and about the vaccine. It then prompts them with a number of questions to think about various reasons for why getting the vaccine may be important, and then prompts them to generate their own reasons for why they would get the vaccine or why it's important to them. And we found that when parents interacted with this, they found it to be useful. They found it to be easy to use. And most of the parents who had not previously given thought to or were undecided about the vaccine reported that they had decided to get their adolescent vaccinated.
And this app used a technique called self-persuasion. What exactly is that, and how was it used in the app?
So self-persuasion is basically the process of generating one's own arguments for engaging in a behavior. And then in answering questions about the vaccine and why it might be important, that helps to sort of helps parents kind of think about and brainstorm reasons that that may be important to them. And then after answering those questions, the app directs them to think about and generate their own reasons. And so that process of kind of thinking about these reasons and answering questions and then generating your own arguments is the way in which we elicited that self-persuasion, to where parents were verbalizing reasons that were important to them to get their child vaccinated.
How do you think the psychology of poverty, being constantly concerned about finances and other factors involved with just having a lack of resources, how do you think that plays into having teens vaccinated?
One that we've already talked about, which is just is accessibility. And time is certainly an issue, right? And that may be particularly an issue with this vaccine series. And it's off of the annual sort of checkup. And when you've got older adolescents, they don't have annual checkups anymore. You know, they're less frequent. And so just taking the time to get there and do it can be more of a burden on the economically disadvantaged.
Austin Baldwin is a professor of psychology at SMU. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Justin.
Coming up tomorrow morning, at Baylor Scott & White Health, there's a program that helps terminally ill parents talk to their young children about disease, treatment, and death. A Dallas mother turned to Baylor specialists to help tell her son she had breast cancer. She tells her story. That's at 8:22 during Morning Edition. Clouds tonight with a low of 62. Tomorrow, cloudy, high of 80, and low of 63. Right now, it's 73 degrees in Dallas. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.